Welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the blog and podcast site designed for parents on the go.
I'm Dr. Julie Cardos.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Lai. We're two board-certified pediatricians and parents like you.
Don't have the time or energy to read pediatric advice? If you're in the carpool line, find the rest of exercise, cleaning the house, log us in.
Today we are recording with Child Homing Community, an agency serving Bucks and Montgomery counties in Pennsylvania by empowering young parents for over 30 years.
Okay,
so today we're with Connie, Alicia, and Steph. Their kids range actually in age all the way from baby to, you know, half born to 11 years old. So they have many, many questions.
So after 13 months, my daughter stopped drinking milk. She will not touch it in a bottle. She won't drink it out of a sippy cup or anything. Our doctors suggested we give her cheese to help make it up, but they keep telling us to keep trying to give her milk, and she still refuses.
All right, so what are you missing when you don't drink milk? Two things. If you're under two, you're missing fat, because you need fat for your brain to grow, but if you have the typical diet that all the other little kids have, you probably have enough fat between your mac and cheese and, you know, your chicken nuggets and things like that, okay? So I don't worry too much about that aspect, but you are losing your calcium. Okay. So what your doctor said about calcium and cheese, but you only need three servings a day. So one piece of cheese, one yogurt, one fortified orange juice.
The other important nutrient that's in milk is vitamin B. So what you could do is get a multivitamin that has calcium and vitamin D, and that covers you for everything.
Okay, now let Dr. Cardos tackle that. All right, well, how do I try to get something into this kid that she's resisting, okay?
The whole milk refusal thing is very common. The kids imitate you. So one thing is make sure you're drinking your milk. And sometimes they'll drink out of your glass, but they won't drink. Okay, that's one idea.
She's shaking her head
now. No, that's okay. All right, that's a thing that is not working. And again, there's nothing magic about milk. You can really get calcium in other sources. But you can try a little Ovaltine in the milk, or a little, you know, chocolate milk or strawberry milk. A little honey in the milk if your child's older than one. Okay, but just sweeten it up a little bit. Or you can put milk in things, milk in cereal. One thing about toddlers that you'll learn is the more you want them to do something, the more out there not going to do it. So you're better off being very casual about the whole milk thing. And, oh, I like my milk. You want it, that's fine. You don't want it, that's fine. But don't give up. You just don't be pushed.
On the flip side of that, all my kids will drink is milk. My daughter will drink some water, but only because she has to take a water bottle to preschool with her if they take it outside with her play. Not a lot of it's gone when she comes home. Mm-hmm. Now preschool's done for the year. What do I do?
Okay, so how much is too much? Generally, above 32 ounces a day, which is actually a lot when you think about it. Think about how much you would drink a day. But some kids do drink that much, and above that amount is just too tough for the belly to handle.
And we also worry kids who drink too much milk can actually become iron deficient from that. The calcium in milk competes with iron. So, for example, if you have an iron, like meat, at your meal, but you're drinking milk with it, you're not going to get all the iron out of the meat because the calcium in the milk kind of competes. That's another reason to keep the milk intake down. I actually tell my patients even like 24 ounces of milk, because the other problem is they drink and drink and drink. They're not hungry.
Yeah.
And then they don't eat. You have to think in your mind, all right, how many ounces in a day? Then either you give them small amounts frequently, or you just refuse. Say, okay, water now. You're going to spark some tantrums with the head.
One thing you can do is just make sure you start getting away from the habit of maybe milk right before bed. And just, you can always use the milk fairy. There are a lot of fairies in the world. You know, there's the diaper fairy that comes and takes away the diaper. There's the milk fairy that suddenly takes too much milk away and leaves a prize.
This is Connie. I get a question about my 15-month-old. How do I get her to stop wanting a bottle in the middle of the night?
Often the bottle in the middle of the night habit can be triggered by bottle right before bed. If your child's used to falling asleep with a bottle, they think that's how they have to get back to sleep. So they'll wake up in the middle of the night and they need to like recreate, oh, how do I fall asleep again? And if taking a bottle, then she's going to want that. So a lot of the middle of the night habits that form are fixed when you fix bedtime. If you do a bottle at bedtime, switch your bedtime routine so it doesn't end with a bottle.
Putting her to bed with a bottle at this point?
Half the time, yes. The other half of the time, she'll fall asleep on her own. I don't understand where it's coming from in the middle of the night.
You know, one reason that people get off the bottle like at night and right before bed is you would never go to sleep without brushing your teeth after drinking milk. And it can sit there. So that's the reason to try to wean her off. But you do it half the time. So if you can complete that and do it the other half of the time. I do have families that will put a little bit of water, just enough to be psychological, in a bottle. Because that's not going to really hurt your teeth. But you're still going to end up waking up at night.
The other thing is, again, when it's milk, milk is pretty filling. It's kind of like if you eat lunch the same time every day, and then maybe you eat breakfast later or earlier than usual, but you tend to still get hungry at the same time for lunch. So if she's used to having a bottle in the middle of the night, it might just be she's trained herself to be a little hungry in the middle of the night. You could also just try putting less and less milk in the bottle so that you don't take it away, but you just put less in to begin with. And then she might, like, her stomach won't feel hungry.
This is Stephanie again. Also, my daughter is going to be starting a daycare only 2 times a week, and they want to do a transition with her because she's literally attached to me. She's never been alone besides with us, and I gave them the warning about her screaming, and she will scream for hours, and, I mean, is it okay to let her scream while she starts this new routine?
Yeah, anytime you transition your kid, you really want to convey positive. This is great. This is wonderful. And you say, guess what? You get to go to big school just like Jared down the street or Milda next door. But you just want to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get to be a big kid. You get to be a big kid. And then when you go there, make sure you say, great, you're going to be here. Mommy's going to be right back. And then she'll be fine because these are teachers. And they've done this again and again and again. What I did many times, you know, we're actually sitting right now in the daycare that my kids went to school in. And what I did many times, if you see these windows around here, I would come back, look, they would be happy, smiling, and playing, and then I'd leave.
Okay, I have another question. Stephanie again, it's towards the same question I had. Now, is it okay to say goodbye to her? Because my mom keeps telling me to not say goodbye, just drop her and leave.
Yeah, you want to say goodbye because
okay.
She needs to know you're gone.
Okay.
And actually, that is a trick on the other end, is to have them say goodbye, Mommy, so they see that you are gone, as opposed to just sitting there screaming and screaming and screaming for you because you're not there anymore.
The other thing you can do is play. Play at home. Let's play school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to school. Goodbye. Have fun at school. Oh, I came back for you. And you can talk about what this routine is. Find out from the school what the nap routine is, because you want to try to mimic the day as much as you can.
Okay.
And just, again, keep it positive, and once you decide it's time to go, don't draw that out too long.
Yeah.
One of my children developed a ritual, like he liked to look out the window when I left, and I had to flash the light of my car. And once he saw the lights flashing, he stopped crying, and that was it. But the teacher and I, somehow we figured out that that was a signal, and it worked for him.
Okay.
When you drop your child off, always drop her off somebody else's arms.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Then you'll feel good, and she will too. All right? You never want to bring her in and say, go play with these kids over here. You want to give them to another caretaker.
I went through the same thing with Mackenzie.
Well, tell us about it.
Mackenzie had separation anxiety when she went to preschool. So it got to the point where I would just go in. I would stay there with her, and some days I was there for 15, 20 minutes. And it finally got to the point where I was done. I would just hand her off to a teacher, and she would be screaming, and I'd say goodbye, and I'd leave. And then I'd call 10 minutes later, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's fine. So she got over it.
Look, you know what I always say to people? I say, you'd feel a lot worse if your kid wasn't crying and asking for you and said, goodbye, good minutes, Mom.
The other thing you should be prepared for is she might have a great day. You pick her up, and she turns into a beast. And what happens is they often will behave pretty well for other people. And then it's almost like they're holding it together, and then they see their mom, and they can fall apart.
She already does that.
Again, think of it as a backhanded compliment. Save it for the person she loves the most. It doesn't mean that she's having a bad time. It just means she's so overwhelmed to see you and happy to see you. She's letting loose every emotion that she stored up. And it's not dangerous for her mental health.
Okay, I have another question. All right, this is part of dropping her off at a daycare. Would it be normal for me to feel guilty of dropping her off? Because I've always had second guesses on taking her to this place.
You know what? You can never have too many people love your kid, all right? And that's all you're doing. You're just letting other teachers and people that love her in her life,
okay?
It's still normal to feel guilty. Yeah.
It's Alicia. My daughter is 4.5 and she still sucks her thumb. This is going back to the whole pacifier thing. I can't do like you were suggesting with the pacifier. I can't take it away from her.
Let me first introduce you to Dr. Cardos, who herself was a former thumb sucker.
And despite that history, I made it to medical school. And I was beyond baby teeth when I stopped. I will admit that too. Again, the thumb is always there, right? Most thumb suckers, just like pacifier users, will suck when they are bored or when they're tired. So, you know, one little trick you can try if she's a thumb sucker when she's watching TV is give her a Rubik's Cube or give her a toy or give her something to hold in her hand. Falling asleep, try handing her a stuffed animal to hold.
She has a blankie, and she, like, bunches it up and, like, rubs it on her nose and sticks her thumb in her mouth and is, like, rubbing the blankie at the same time.
On the other hand, we should all have something that gives us such peace.
I know.
So, again, you know, the dentists tell us that, you know, once permanent teeth come in, it's a lot worse, like, for the teeth. The baby teeth, what thumb suckers can do is push the front baby teeth out, and so the lip gets pushed out a little. When they stop, the lip will push the teeth back in. So it's not that you're going to cause permanent damage necessarily, even at 4, but again, it's kind of like nail biting. It's kind of a lot of these habits are just tough for little kids to kick.
Again, what you can do is you see it in the daytime, replace it with a different habit. The other thing you can do at night is just go in. Usually the kid just needed to fall asleep. So just go in, pluck it out of their mouth, and they'll probably won't put it back in for a long time. Okay, because you remember how deep a sleep they fall into. They don't budge. One thing that doesn't work are all those bitter tasting things you can buy over the market. And the other thing is parents are always showing me thumbs, and for some reason I've never seen one infected.
I do notice once she falls asleep, the thumb does fall out.
Anybody have any like one last thing or
Steph, any more questions?
No.
And thus we concluded our podcast recording party with Child Home and Communities Building the Family Group, a group dedicated to supporting young parents in Bucks and Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. We call these sticky points from our session. When it comes to milk, you can have too much or too little of a good thing. Daycare drop-off is tougher for mom and dad than the child. And finally, for some, thumb-sucking and toddlerhood often goes, quote-unquote, hand-in-hand. The most effective strategy for weaning is patience. Now back to our podcast party.
Again, I'm Dr. Naomi Mai.
And I'm Dr. Julie Cardos. We are 2 peas in a pod. Right now, our recording studio is our kitchen table.
And we depend on you to tell your friends about us. We are 2 pediatrician moms who know you have questions after you've left our office.
Think of us as your innovative resource for sound pediatric advice. Please check out our website, www.2peasinapod.com. And that's TWOPEBSINAPOD. And friend us on Facebook.
We hope to use podcasts and our blog posts to help answer your questions and make you more confident parents. Thank you for listening.